So, all right, let's get to it. All right, let's talk a little bit. We have, I know we'll get to as many of your questions as possible, especially the super chats. We'll do all of those. Okay, so Trump says the economic costs of the war are no big deal. The price of oil hit $120 a barrel. Then it popped, it dropped down, drooped down into the 80s, down, of course, from where it was. Damn. It was 60 2 weeks ago. Gas prices are already up over $1.25 a gallon nationally since the beginning of the war. I think it's safe to say that the price per barrel is going to go up. Once the futures traders realize that this is an ongoing thing, that Iranians aren't playing. This is, they tried playing with us the first two times, and third time's not going to happen. Trump says it's going to be a short-term excursion because he's obviously trying to calm the markets.
No, it's not. Remember last week, Ted, we said what we have to do to win in Iran is we have to overthrow the entire Iranian government and impose a pro-American, pro-Israeli government in Tehran, which will never happen in a million years.
Nope.
All the Iranians have to do to win is to survive. So either we're going to have to commit to killing half of the people in Iran over the next 20 years or just walk away.
Which, and you and I both know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Sure. But it's going to take a while, right?
Yeah.
I mean, now the Iranians issued a statement yesterday saying, well, we have a few surprises up our sleeves too.
I bet they do.
I bet they do too, right? Hypersonic missiles, anything else?
The hypersonics, they have not yet used. Mm-hmm. I think that the United States, that the U.S. and Israel have been taken by surprise with these suicide drones. Mm-hmm. I researched this. These drones only cost but $5,000 or $6,000. That's it. Mm-hmm. And you strap explosives to them, which are also cheap. And then you just fly them into an oil rig or into, a defense ministry building or into the middle of an American airbase or the control tower of an airfield, or $5,000.
Yeah, easy peasy. And then nothing for a nation state.
Yeah, our surface to air missiles cost at least, the small ones, at least $150,000. We're spending $150,000 every time we try to shoot down a $5,000 drone. And it is unsustainable, besides the fact that it's hard to shoot down these drones. And that's why so many of them are impacting. All of the six GCC countries.
Let's talk a little bit about Bahrain. Bahrain, it declared force majeure, which is a legal term in contract law that says we are no longer able, in case of force majeure, we're no longer able to honor our commitments under this contract. They're saying we can no longer supply energy as the state Bahraini oil company said that they could. That's a huge deal, right? Their oil refinery system is crippled. Their ability to transport oil is crippled. Mm-hmm. If this goes on even a couple of weeks, that's a major problem for a country like that, isn't it?
It's a major problem for Bahrain, but it won't be a major problem for the global economy because Bahrain only produces about 100,000 barrels a day. Mm. They consume about 100,000 barrels a day. But the Saudis have gifted Bahrain a small offshore oil field, and that's the oil that they sell. Mm. So it's like a little bit of free money just to make sure that the Bahrainis can keep up with the rest of the Gulf Cooperation Council countries. Still, Bahrain relies on the income from this offshore field. And if there's force majeure and they can't export it, which they can't, because for all intents and purposes, the Strait of Hormuz is closed right now, then it's
good. Although Trump says, we're going to take it over.
Yeah, good luck.
What does that mean?
Let us know how that works out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Just bullshit, basically. Yeah. All right, we'll get to the we're going to get to the PAC money and the SAVE Act a little bit later, but we have so many questions, John. Are you okay with us?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Adam's Ark, thanks for the Emirati dirhams for 50. Hey, if the U.S. initiates a ground invasion of Iran, do you think missile and drone attacks on GCC countries will stop? And if they do invade, do you think IDF troops will join them there? Seems only fair. Not the second part.
Yeah, that's not the second. Yeah, not the second part. I mean, ground troops, in my view, ground troops would be the start of World War III. I really believe that. Plus, you know, Iran, let's contextualize this. Iran is the size of the whole of Western Europe.
That's true.
We can't invade and occupy a country like
with
that.
With more rugged terrain.
With more rugged terrain than what is in Europe. That's right.
Yeah, you can't. You just can't. It's too big to bite off. Yeah. I think the missile and drone attacks would only continue or accelerate.
I agree.
Good morning, Benjamin Griffin. Love the show. Question, I've read reports from the IAEA that Iran has enriched uranium up to 60%. Can you talk a bit about what they claim the purpose of this is? They say it's for nuclear energy.
In part, and also for medical research. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, and that would be the appropriate, you know, uranium enrichment level for both mm-hmm. of those things.
Saros Davari, love your show. What do you think of Mojtaba Khamenei, new leader of the Islamic Republic? But thanks for asking that question.
Yeah.
I don't think the only criticism is that he's got the same last name as his dad. You know, I think that just makes it, you know, it opens Iran up to the criticism that they're basically setting up a North Korean like hereditary system. But I don't think, John, I don't think that's knowing what I know about Iranians. I think this was an act of defiance. We're going to choose someone that you guys really don't want us to
that
choose.
Is it. It's only because Donald Trump said it's not going to be this guy because I don't like him and I'm going to choose the next leader of Iran. They were like, oh, yeah. And then they made Mojtaba Khamenei Grand Ayatollah. Yes.
The Iranians have been compromising and compromising and compromising and they're done.
Yes. That's it. That's it. He's Scott a young guy. He's 54, 56 years old, but he's highly respected from what I've been told. Highly Scott respected.
Scott Holmes, what's the status of Netanyahu? I don't know what that means, status.
Well, you know, Netanyahu ran off to Germany to hide when the war first mm-hmm. began. He's back in, reportedly back in Israel. I read a report yesterday. He's actually in Cyprus. He's hiding is what it comes down mm-hmm. to.
Well,
I have to add one other thing. You know, somebody posted a video on TikTok last night that I watched while I was laying in bed. And it was inside the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, mm-hmm. which was completely empty. They're standing right next to the edicule, which covers the tomb of Christ. And all you can hear are air raid sirens.
Wow.
It was just very sad.
And there's a lot of video coming out of Israel where Israeli sources saying we're really in trouble. They're hunkering.
They are in trouble.
They're not dancing in the bomb shelters anymore.
No, sir. No, sir. You know, somebody pointed out to me over the weekend, too, that, you know, there was this spike in support for Netanyahu when they first started bombing the Iranians. It's back down to the point where his popularity is nil.
Yeah, maybe the Israelis need to stop thinking about like how they feel about their own situation and think about
right.
the situation that they're creating all over the world, which is then coming back to bite them in the ass.
That is right.
Is there this war of escalation, is there an end game in sight? Arnab wants to know. Not in sight, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
Kasevich, hot take, but I think if oil shoots up high enough, the U.S. will lift the Russian oil sanctions and get oil from them. Oh, there's conversations about that.
And they already started that. They already told the Indians, yeah, go ahead and buy all the Russian oil you want.
Yeah, there's back channel communications with the Russians right now.
Yeah, there are. Absolutely. It's the beginning of the end for those sanctions.
I would say timeline on the oil sanctions is a week. What do you think?
I could see that.
Want to support the show with style? Go to deprogram.live and check out our merch. That's deprogram.live, or check out the description below. Thanks for watching. Maxwell Smart, question for John and Ted. If this campaign was miraculously won, would the U.S. have enough control over the world's oil supply to starve Russia and China? That's a good question.
That is a good question.
The answer is no, I don't think.
No. No, I don't think so.
I mean, it is a global market. It's interesting, right? Like you can be energy independent, like the Republicans were pushing for years, and we are, but it doesn't make any difference because it's a global market.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, John Cusack, $10. With Iran decapitated, Russia's targeting Intel is the only strategic brain left guiding IRGC strikes. Is Moscow steering a headless Iran to destroy GCC oil for them?
Well, that's a tough one.
I'm not sure I would say Iran is decapitated yet either.
I don't think it is. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to just like brush that. Even, I don't know. I think Russia's approach to Iran is more direct than that. They're providing targeting information. They're an ally. That they would do more if they could. And I think it's basically that simple. They're just honoring a commitment. 3,500, I think these are rupees, or I don't know what they are. Rishikesh, thank you so much. It seems that the president is betting on a victory by attrition, sparking a revolution. Yeah, that is what he said before. And a new U.S.-friendly regime. Does he really think we're going to manage it successfully? Is there any chance this will not result in a complete disaster? It could result in a partial disaster.
Yes, it could.
It's not gonna work.
It's not.
It can't.